We lift our eyes to the mountains. Where will our help come from? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Beloved, peace to you and grace in God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's read together from Hebrews chapter 7, and we're going to read together verses 23 to 25. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray together. Our Lord, our ever-present God, the God of the thunder and the rain out there, we once again come together this evening, not as those who have anything in ourselves to offer, but as those who are weak and lonely and weary very often. And you are the God who draws near to those with broken hearts, and you bind up their wounds always, and the Father who never leaves his children, and that great shepherd who never loses a sheep, and the friend who never walks away. We pray that you still our restless hearts this evening, and you make our worship to glorify your mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. We have no formal missions focus this evening, but pray for Darren and Andrea over in Ecuador. We were alerted this past week that there are troubles no further than 200 meters away from their home. Some serious, serious things going on. And they say for now, but they need our prayers, and send them a little message if you have their number, Darren, and them would appreciate it. Just tell him how you're doing, brother. We're out here praying. Let them know they're family and they're not alone. Pray for the other missionaries too, wherever they are. Some of them are in very, very difficult places. Let's continue together in prayer. You are our God of all comfort and our Father of mercies, and we praise you for who you are, eternal. You never change. You don't need to, because you are our perfect and glorious God, infinitely holy, and you're unfailingly good, Father, and we praise you. And we know that you are near to those who are lowly, and you always listen to the cries of your people. Even when we feel forgotten, you remember us. When we feel abandoned, you uphold us. When we feel helpless, you defend us. And when we are most alone, Father, you are most present. We thank you for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We thank you that he walked the lonely road to Calvary for us, and that he was rejected in our place, and he now welcomes us into eternal fellowship with you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who dwells within us and among us, and who never departs from us. Forgive us, Father, for our sins, for the pride that isolates, the fear that hides away, and the selfishness that pushes others away. We pray that you forgive us our coldness toward you and our indifference toward one another very often. Forgive us, Father, for the many times we have sought comfort in things that cannot satisfy. We ask you, Lord, to bring revival in our hearts, and As you make your word to pierce deep into our hearts and your spirit to move freely. And that you reform our lives, our congregation, your church, our homes. And make us love one another truly, to bear one another's burdens, and to do so gladly. And to reflect that welcoming heart of Christ to a dying and weary and lonely world. We lift up to you the sick and suffering among us, those in our church family and beyond. We pray that you heal them, Father, in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for the caregivers and the families. That you give wisdom to doctors and peace to relatives. And Father, we pray that you be especially for those listed in our list of sick people among us, and remind that even in pain, they are never alone. And we pray that you build up your church, Lord, and make us truly a family in Christ. Teach us to see those who are lonely, to welcome those who feel rejected, and to bear witness always to the everlasting love of God, which is what we all need and which you've provided for us. So beautifully that you gave your only begotten Son, so that those who believe in him might not perish, but have eternal life. We ask for this in the name of that Jesus, your Son, our faithful friend, and our risen Lord. Amen. We are in our evening series in the trials and temptations of life. And as I've said to you before, we looked at all those temptations that come our way. We've done so over a very long, I think quite a few weeks we've done that. We looked at lust and sexual immorality and greed and love of money. Pride and self-exaltation. We've looked at selfishness as a temptation. Envy and jealousy. Anger and wrath. That lying and deception, idolatry, the spiritual and the material kind. Be careful of the spiritual idolatry. It's one of the most subtle things there is. Very, very subtle thing. And doubt and lack of faith, and fear and anxiety, addictions and gluttony, and sloth we've looked at. We looked also at persecution for faith, temptation from Satan we looked at last week, and tonight we're going to look at loneliness and rejection. That's what we come to this evening. So we're going to look at rejection and loneliness, and the Christ who never leaves us. And we're going to look at some selected scriptures in that. Loneliness is one of the most painful experiences known to mankind. And it's not just the absence of company, it's the presence of emptiness. You can sit in a crowded room anywhere, hear the noise of people as they chat and have conversation. Down at the Mug and Bean, and you can still feel utterly unseen and unheard and unloved. Loneliness is not, we don't measure it by the number of people around us. It's not the number of people around you, but it's the nearness of those who truly know and care for you. That's what it's about. Some people feel lonely because they've been forgotten, and others because they've been rejected in our modern day cancel culture, which is not just a thing that happens on blogs and things and on YouTube channels and so on. It happens between people. They cancel one another. It's a sickness that is set into our society. And still others are lonely because they've been misunderstood. There are people who are surrounded by a lot of other people, but they are emotionally and spiritually, they're isolated from them. I think every one of us has known that time where we've said to ourselves, does anyone really know me? Does anyone really care? And yet the Bible, our Lord, our Father, he never hides from this reality. If you read the Bible, you'll see that the Psalms are soaked in tears. The prophets, they cry out in loneliness and in solitude. And if you want more demonstration of the reality, even the Son of God hanging alone on a cross. And all of that tells us the truth about loneliness, but it also tells us about a God who meets you in your loneliness. He meets us right there, as Isaiah reminded us in chapter 53, verse 3, well-known verse. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You see, our Lord Jesus knows what it means to be rejected and to be lonely. But in his loneliness, he brings us into a lasting, glorious fellowship with God himself. Now let's look first of all this evening at some of the causes of loneliness. And much can be said about this. Just say what we can to deliver to you a kernel of truth, hopefully. And I see realities in self and realities in society that cause loneliness. It's not just in us. And it's not just in society. It's often in both. It's in the self. It's in you and in those around you. What is it that causes that? You see, sometimes loneliness begins inside of us. Because sin has not only separated us from God, but it's also separated us from one another. What did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? The first thing they did was to hide away from God and probably even each other, I don't know. And they sat there and they covered themselves, ashamed and afraid. And from that moment, humanity became spiritually isolated from God and one another. As Calvin said, all the miseries of mankind are owing to this, that we have departed from God. That's what he said. How many of the miseries of mankind? All the miseries of mankind are owing to this, says Calvin, that we have departed from God. You find anything that is wrong in your life or someone else's life, there's the reason. Our separation from God leads to separation from people. That is inevitable. You cannot avoid that. And the Reformers, seeing as we are coming up to celebrating Reformation Sunday next Lord's Day, they felt so strongly about these things. They thought so carefully about it that they even called it by a very special name. Homo incurvatus in se. You know what that means? Man curved in on himself. That's what we've become. Homo incurvatus in se. Curved in on ourselves. We become self-focused. We become self-righteous. We become self-protective. We become self-promoting. We build walls. We don't build bridges. We seek control. We don't seek communion. And pride makes us push others away. And then guilt makes us hide away. What does fear do? Makes us run away. The father told me one day, he says he heard His little boy, he says something to his mom after his mom scolded him for having been naughty. You know what the boy said to his mom? Mommy, I just need someone with skin on. What did he mean? He needed presence. He needed to be held deep within every heart. Is that longing for connection? God created us for communion. Communion with Him first, then with others. And when we reverse that order or we break it, that's when loneliness comes. That's realities in self. But there are also realities in society. Loneliness doesn't just come from inside of us. No, it comes from outside of us as well, from without and within. It's fostered by this world that we live in. You've seen the hostility. We live in an age of connection without communion. And I think we all know we live in an age of communication without compassion. Those messages that you sometimes send to your friends or they send to you, is there in them that thing that my forefathers on my Afrikaans side call geniepsigheid? A little pinch. Is there geniepsigheid in what we say? A thinly concealed bit of meanness. You know, when you get that, you get it from somebody who's in deep pain. We need to show compassion. Because society that we live in, and I've often told you this, and please, somebody's already told me, don't say it so often, and I asked them to repeat it, and they couldn't. So I said, maybe I must say it one more time. We are moved by three great idols. Power, which is an idol. Pleasure, which is an idol. And prosperity, which is an idol. If it comes from anywhere but God, it's not the power of God, it's an idol. If it's not the pleasure of God, it's an idol. If it's not the prosperity of God, it's an idol worshipped by somebody who loves the world and the things thereof. The will to power makes people to be competitors, not companions. How many friends have you seen turned into rivals by ambition? And by jealousy and by envy? The will to power is a terrible thing. It causes loneliness and separation between people. And so does the pursuit of pleasure. It reduces other people to instruments for our gratification. How many people come up to you only when they have a need? You will never hear a knock on your door, look you in the eye and say, how are you doing? We've just come to chat. But you will get a call when there is a need. When the need is fulfilled, they leave. Very often not even saying thank you, but that insolent alternative to it, I appreciate it. And we wonder why so many of us are so lonely, even while we are surrounded by people. The craving for prosperity values possessions over people, makes our calculators destroy our compassion. And our calculators are important, but so is our compassion. Our culture idolizes independence, but God calls us to interdependence. When everybody insists on my truth, my rights, my space, you've seen what happens to society. It collapses. I can tell you the self-made man, we can acknowledge that they succeed in business, but they often fail in belonging. And Christians too, all of us, we know the pain of being rejected by the world. Jesus said plainly, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. And faithfulness to Christ will sometimes mean being misunderstood and mocked or left out. And yet this rejection only draws us closer to the one, to the Lord Jesus, who was most rejected of all. Those are some of the causes. What are the consequences of it? It has real effects. Emotional effects, spiritual effects, social effects, and very often even physical effects. Twice in my career in the South African Police Service as a detective did I see people who took their lives simply because they were lonely. It's not a pretty sight. The psalmist says in Psalm 27, verse 10, my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Imagine that, parents turning away. But David finds his hope in the faithful love of his God. Even when all the earthly bonds fail, God's grace prevails. But you see, there's also another consequence. Unhealed loneliness can turn into bitterness. And we see it. Let me tell you, John and Patrick and them will tell you, we see it in the pastorate. Where we see loneliness turn into bitterness and then we need to deal with it. Loneliness can turn into self-pity too. Feeling sorry for oneself and getting all OCD like I do. That's why I don't go to rugby, because every time they scrum, I think they're skinnering of me. It has effects. It affects us. I know that every one of you, you know that. You have felt it. I know that. But you know, sometimes like Elijah, under that broom tree, he said, it's enough, take away my life. But when loneliness drives us to God, it becomes a holy teacher to us. I love how Spurgeon put that one. He said, listen to Spurgeon, he says, you know, he often battled with depression. How many of you knew that? Deep depression. He also smoked. One day they said to him, is he not afraid that he's going to go to hell if he smokes? He says, no, you don't go to hell if you smoke. You just smell like you've been there. That's Spurgeon. And he said, he's not the one smoking, it's the cigarette. He's the sucker on the other end. Don't smoke, it's not good for you. But what I'm saying, he suffered from depression. Deeply, that brother. That's why I have a picture of him in my study. I often just look around. And I hope he doesn't mind, but I just say, how are you doing, Charlie? He said, I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. Kiss the wave that throws you against the rock of ages. The waves of rejection, if they push us to Christ, they are waves of grace. One of my pastor friends told me that he visited an old lady in one of our two old age facilities here. Well, retirement villages. I know my brothers are not old age people living in old age facilities. And he felt sorry and he says to her, "Don't you get lonely?" He says she smiled and she pointed to her Bible which was lying open there and she says, "Oh no, Pastor, I spend my days with the Psalms and they also keep me company." God bless you, sister. You see, loneliness can be bitter, but for the believer, there's a school of trust and of prayer. Let's look at the cross of loneliness, and then you'll know why I say so. Because nowhere in loneliness do we see loneliness more profound than at the cross. You remember how Isaiah foretold it? In Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Remember on the night he was betrayed, what happened to our Lord? He was abandoned by his friends. One of them denied him. Another one betrayed him. And the rest of them ran away. But then came that cry that split the heavens. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that's the mystery of divine loneliness. The Son of God in his own humanity, he felt the abandonment of his own Father as he bore our sin. The darkness that came upon him was not only over the land, it was all over the soul of our Savior. You can hear it in the cry. Why did he endure all of that? Why did he do that? So that you and I would never be forsaken. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." You see, at the cross, the rejected one became our Redeemer. The forsaken one became our friend. God cut off so that you and I can be brought in, and then we still do so accidentally. He was alone that you and I can belong. And for the lonely soul, I have only one lifeline, and it's the loneliness of Christ. And that's why we need to consider the Christ of loneliness, the comforts in loneliness. You see, the greatest comfort in loneliness is not the removal of the pain of it. Because that very often does not happen. Let's be real. It's not the removal of the pain, but the presence of Christ within it. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit, says the psalm. When you're lonely, you're never alone if you are in Christ. He sits with you there in the silence. Doesn't have to be noisy and entertained. Right there in the silence. He's the one who listens when no one else listens. People are not very good at that. He understands what nobody else can understand anyway. Somebody said there's a quiet fellowship that grows in the valley of solitude. Their faith deepens. Their prayer becomes more honest. And there, Christ becomes more precious. Psalm 147, verse 3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Calvin again, when he said to us, Christ was not only touched with the feeling of our infirmities, He experienced them Himself so that He might be more ready to comfort us. And when no one else can comfort, and that's very often, Christ can. I've learned when no one else understands, Christ does. In loneliness, God teaches us that as we learned this morning, Jesus is enough. That's what He teaches us. And then He brings us into the covenant of love as we come to the end. Because the cure for loneliness is not simply more humans, more people, more company. It's divine communion. Because God's solution to rejection and isolation is His covenant love. That's what God does about our isolation and loneliness and seclusion. Gives us covenant love. As the book of Deuteronomy says in 31 verse 6, Be strong and courageous, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. That's His covenant love. And that's not just sentimental words. They're covenantal promises. We believe that our security is anchored not in emotion, not in our feelings, but in God's eternal decree and in God's covenant mercy. If you belong to Christ, you're bound to Him by an unbreakable bond of grace. If you belong to Christ, you are part of the covenant family, the church. If you're part of Christ, you are part of the household of God. And yes, households have problems, but they love them out. As God places the lonely in families, and the church is a family. The church is a redeemed community where rejected sinners find acceptance. And they know they don't deserve it. Where lonely hearts find love. It's a place where grace restores broken fellowship. And in you and I live as covenant people. We bear one another's burdens. We put up with one another too. We forgive one another. We love one another. We display the heart of God to one another and to the lost and to the lonely world. If we're truly Christians, if we're not just like the world. See, there's a young believer who once told an old pastor, I don't need the church. I have Jesus. I hear that often. How many of you have heard that? I don't need the church, I have Jesus. The pastor looked at him and gently said, You cannot have the head without his body, because Jesus doesn't walk around decapitated. The church is living proof of Christ's love. You know what else the church is? It's the visible arms around a lonely world. It's what the church is supposed to be. And so all of us know the ache of rejection and the pain of loneliness. But each one of us, if we're a true believer, we know something greater. The companionship of our Lord. And so when you feel forsaken, you need to remember that Christ was forsaken that you might be forgiven. When you're alone, you need to remember, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when you're unwanted and cancelled, you must remember that you're accepted in the Beloved. You don't need people for that. You don't need people's permission to that. You have his free invitation to that. But there's a coming a day when loneliness will be no more. As John tells us in the book of Revelation, he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, and neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore. I hope you're looking forward to that, because in that eternal fellowship, the family of God will never be parted again. No separation. The devil will never be able to drive divisions among us again. He'll never get it right the way he does these days all over the place. We'll be together. There'll be no rejection. There'll be no loneliness. There'll be only love everlasting. And until that day, you and I need to hold on to the Christ who was rejected for us, and rest in the covenant love that never lets us go. Let's pray. Lord, you're the fountain of everlasting love, and you are our Father of all mercies, your word says. We bless you that even though the world may forsake us, you never will, because you've engraved your names upon the palms of your hands, and you sealed us in the blood of your Son. When we were strangers, we were the enemies, you welcomed us into your family, and then you called us your children, and we praise you. We pray that you help us to remember this in every valley that we may go through, that Christ walks beside us in every night. His hand will hold us, every sorrow. His love will sustain us. Until that day when you wipe away every tear from our eyes, we pray that you keep us faithful, Lord, faithful in love and steadfast in hope, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But in Christ, as you go from this place, remember the Savior who was forsaken that you might never be alone. Walk in the peace of the one who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Rest in the love of the God who places the lonely in families, and live as a light to the hurting, the rejected, and the unseen. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.